Today, if you would, the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to look here at this parable. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And it's a parable where the kingdom of heaven is likened unto hidden treasures. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. This is the only place that this particular parable appears. There are some of the parables that are in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and some parables are in a couple of the Gospels. But this parable is found only in the Gospel of Matthew. Of course, Christ here speaking to the Jews, in particular, instructing them about His kingdom and what it is. Christ desires that the Jews understand that the kingdom is more than flesh and blood. The kingdom is more than buildings. The kingdom is more than a rule or an authority. It's more than that. And so that's why He gives the Jews this parable in the book of Matthew. You know, Matthew, of course, is written concerning Christ as a king. That's the whole overall scope of the book of Matthew. So let's read Matthew 13 and verse 44. Jesus said again, that's not there by accident, but He is repeating Himself. He is explaining to them again some of the things ahead or that He's spoken of previously. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our precious Father, I pray to Lord today that I might be able to bring forth the word that You've given. Lord, I know that all of my speaking will be of no value at all, Lord, unless You bless it. And Lord, I pray that You might just cause us to have understanding about what this passage is speaking about. And I trust, Lord, that we'll give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. For, Lord, I know that You're a mighty God and You can accomplish those things that we cannot. Bless now, Father, today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to say, first of all, this is not a selfish parable. Don't you read that again. Look what it says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. He's not stingy. Don't you understand that right off? He's not talking about being stingy. He's not talking about getting something for yourself and giving nothing to nobody else. That's not what he's talking about at all. The things we want to look at this morning and trust that we'll be able to answer in the message is these questions. What is the treasure? What is the field? Why does the man hide the treasure after he's found it? Of course, you might say that's obvious because he don't want anybody else to get it. Well, Jesus is not being stingy here. He's not teaching us to be stingy. Is he? Say no. All right, I know we're all together here. He's not teaching us to be stingy. I mean, He tells us everywhere in the Bible that we ought to share and that we ought to take the gospel and give it to everybody, plenty of seed, spread it out. He's telling us a lot of things like that, give to the poor. He's telling us to do a lot of that. So He's not teaching us here in this parable to be stingy at all. This is a treasure. It's stored up. It's going to be kept in reserve. That's what it is. And then, of course, the field here is the present world. He hides it. He hides the treasure, not from others, but He hides it to Himself. And understand that the treasure is available to whoever would desire it. One of the first things we want to look at in this message today is to understand the difference between a treasure and a hidden treasure. because there's treasure that's open and available, that's well known, it can well be seen, blessings of God. But then there are other treasures that are hidden, hidden from view, and that it takes some effort on our part to dig it out. Understand about this as well, as we get into the message. Understand what this is talking about. In verse 44, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Now, what he's saying here in this passage is that the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure, which is more valuable and precious. He's not saying in the verse that the treasure is the gospel. He's not saying in this that faithfulness or rewards or wisdom or blessing is the kingdom. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure that is hidden. And when a man finds it, he says, this is the most precious thing of all. Understand that manna was given to the Israelites free for them to go and pick up wherever they just could go and pick it up. And that's a good thing. But then there's other hidden things that just a few would receive, because they search diligently for those things. Now, there is such a thing as earthly treasure. There's no doubt about that. And there is such a thing as a treasure being hidden, when it is found, would cause great consternation. Let me give you this one. The book of Genesis chapter 43. In the book of Genesis chapter 43, here, the Bible speaks about the sons of Jacob as they are returning from Egypt after having received food. And they paid for the food in the land of Egypt. In Genesis 43 and verse 20, let's read verse 21. When the brothers were returning, they found that the money they paid for the food in Egypt was in their sack. And notice the reading here in verse 21. It came to pass, as they were relating this back to Joseph as they come back to Egypt, it came to pass when we came to the end that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not. Your God and the God of your fathers have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. So here was a treasure that was hidden, and when it was revealed, it caused great terror in the heart of Jacob's sons. God's treasure is never that way. The treasure that God gives causes great joy in Matthew 13:33. We will have great joy about those things. Now notice, the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19, concerning heavenly treasure. And there is this heavenly treasure that Jesus said we ought to lay up for ourselves. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasuries upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather, lay up for yourselves treasuries in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What he's telling us here in Matthew 6, verse 19 and 20, is that there are things that we ought to seek for, yearn for, work for, long for, that are more precious than anything this earth has to offer. That's what He's telling us in this place. There's a difference between hidden treasure and just treasure. There's a difference in the two. There's some things that are hidden. Actually, in the Bible, there are 7 scriptures that have the word hidden or hide or something like that and treasure in the same verse. There's only 7 of those. The text, Matthew 13:44, is one of those. We want to look this morning and see what the Bible has to say about hidden treasure. You see, there's things that God has for us. There's things that God desires for us that if we would seek for, work for, God will give it to us and He will show us those wonderful things. This morning in devotion, Brother Andy read, I got it somewhere, from Buddy Davis. And I want to read it again. Because he read this in his devotion. When he read that, I thought, boy, that just fits perfectly with the message this morning, talking about hidden treasures. Listen to what Buddy wrote here. And this is the course. He said, "The Bible is a gold mine. Where's your pick and shovel? Dig into the Word of God and claim it. Read it like a treasure map. I know it's wealth you'll find. It'll lead you to the streets of gold. The Bible is a gold mine." And you think about how that it is. But let me ask you, do you have a pick and shovel that you're digging in the Bible to find the nuggets that are there? You know, it's very possible that we could be standing on a gold mine and never know it because we never dig in the ground to find the nuggets that are there. It's very possible that we could be walking along and there be money laying all around us, but we never look down and we never reach down and pick it up. Therefore, we never have any wealth about us. We could have a Bible in our hands. You could bring your Bible to services. But do you dig into the Word of God to find out what God's Word says? Or do you just say, well, you know, I got the Bible and woe is me. It's an individual thing. When the Bible says here that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure that is hid in a field. You say, well, the field is the world in the one parable. I know it is. But these nuggets may be in the Word of God. There may be some precious promises that can give you strength that nobody else can know anything about. And you might be able to take those Scriptures and hold them unto yourself and live and be happy in them. Received an email from a Russian Baptist just this week. We correspond some. And he said, "Pray for us because there's a new bill." There's always a new bill that is coming before their government, or that it will be against the law for them to pass out even a tract or to give a New Testament. And if a person is under 18 years of age, it'll be about our money, $200. But if a pastor passes it out, it's $250. And the fellow wrote, he said, "We don't mind the persecution, and we don't mind the prosecutions. But pray that God will give us strength to continue in the midst of it." I mean, that fella has something that's hidden that would make him stand up against oppression like that? Do you have a pick and shovel that you're finding that hidden treasure that's in the Bible that is real for you and for me? Look at one of these that we're going to read. It's in the book of Psalm 17 and verse 14. Psalms 17 and verse 14. Here in this place, David is praying to the Lord because his enemies are all around him. And it seems that he's compassed all about with things. And what a situation we find ourselves in today. With the political situation the way it is and with the economic situation the way it is, we find ourselves hemmed in. And with the, it seems like that the political world is following more and more toward a world government and a world currency and a world army and a world everything. And frankly, I'm just not too keen on it, but you know, the Lord knows what He's doing. And David says in this place, he said, I am hemmed in on every side. In verse 6, he says, I've called upon Thee, for Thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline Thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. And he talks about how that in verse 11, they have now compassed me in our steps. They have set their eyes, bowing down to the earth. But notice in verse 14 what he says. Here's where his hope is. It's in things that men cannot touch or see. He says, from men which are Thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly Thou fillest with Thine hid treasure, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. So here's those that have hid treasures, and they have plenty. And David says, I can be like that. In the midst of everything that's going on, and I can have plenty, enough to leave to the next. I can have plenty to leave to the next. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, I've talked about treasure and hidden treasure. And it is important that we see more than just the surface of things. Because if all we see is on the surface, we're going to be in desperate trouble. Look in the book of Psalms 103 and verse 7. I've read this passage to you before, and I pray that it'll begin to mean something to each one of us. It means much to me. And I pray that God would help me to see even more. But notice in Psalms 103 and verse 7, here as the psalmist is speaking about the blessings of God, he said, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. And when I read this years ago, I thought, what a marvelous statement this is. It was the nation of Israel who saw only the acts of God. But it was Moses who saw the ways of God. Israel only saw what God did. But Moses saw why God was doing what He was doing. Moses saw the hidden treasures. But all that the Israelites saw was the treasures of God. And there was wonderful things that they saw. You think about the things that the nation of Israel saw. They saw that manna 6 days a week. They saw that their shoes did not wear out in the wilderness. They saw that their clothes did not wear out. But they never did understand why. And they continually complained to God over and over and over again. But Moses saw something deeper. Moses saw some real values down there. You know, it's like the Israelites. The Israelites, they were very content to follow that fiery pillar and the cloud. They were very content to do that. And whichever way it went, they would just walk that way without even thinking. But Moses said in the book of Exodus 33, he said, Lord, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go. He wanted to see more than just what was on the surface. But Moses wanted to see the depths of the things of God. Hidden treasures. Hidden treasures. And I'm going to pass over this one rather quickly. In the book of Job, chapter 3. In this place, Job talks about death as if it is a hidden treasure. And you understand where Job is coming from here. The book of Job, chapter 3, and verse 21. Job 3 and verse 21. Job explains concerning death that it's a hidden treasure. To him it would be. Now, to us, we would say, wait a minute, death can't be anything hidden treasure because that's bad. But if you were in the shoes of Job, it might be a good thing to you because he's lost it all. I mean, all of his wealth is gone. His children are killed. His wife has said, curse God and die. He has three friends that's come to comfort him, and they spend about 30 chapters complaining about how ignorant Job is and he's got some kind of secret sin. And here's what Job says about death and escaping from this world. He says in verse 21, Job 3:21, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasuries. Now to you and to me, how could death be a hidden treasure? But it was a relief. What Job is saying, that he is in such great anxiety and in such great suffering, that to die would be the sweetest thing on earth. That's what he's saying. So you see, that fits. Telling us that this hidden treasure is a wonderful thing indeed. And even if it's death, you get enough misery, death will be that hidden treasure to you. Now on the surface, it would look like that's nothing at all. He said that on the surface, it looks like that death is what you would shy away from. But if you get in enough trouble, death is something that you desire. I've talked to several older folks. They come to the place of death and their body is aching. They're hurting. I talked to the one lady I remember in particular that I'm thinking about right now. And she said, preacher, I want you to pray that I would die. I want you to pray that God would take me home. And I did. She was a saved lady. She knew where she was going. You say, well, that's wrong to pray that prayer. Let me tell you, there's worse things than dying. And part of it is staying in this world when you're full of misery and your body can't go on. And so she knew where she was going. And she prayed that. I prayed it. And she died just the next day. Went on home to be with the Lord. But we need to understand that there's those hidden values. And he says here in this verse 21, I dig for it more than for hid treasures, but I cannot. It didn't come to me. And of course, God had another thing that he had on his mind for him. A hidden treasure, a wonderful thing. Notice in the book of Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 2. And verse 4. And you know right away when you go to Proverbs, in this place in particular, you're speaking about wisdom. Because that's what this section of Proverbs is about. Is about wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's go back up and read verse 1. You see there's some things here that's hidden from the ordinary. And people look at it and say, well, that's nothing at all. But God said that's really something special. He said, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, and what emphasis should be placed upon those words. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. And it's no mistake that the word hide is there. In verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look what he's saying here. You've got to look for it. Wisdom, it's hidden. A lot of people look at the Bible and they say, oh, it's a good book, but they never dig into it. And they don't get that those nuggets, those gems out of there. They never get that. It escapes them. But see, the Bible says here, you need to cry out after knowledge. You need to lift up your voice for understanding. Do you know why? That there's all kinds of situations that we have to face in this life that we don't want to face. You know why they come? It's not just because of sin. I mean, God's in control of all those things. And sometimes difficulties come because that's what God is using to teach us some things. And so we cry out to God, why did this happen? Help me to understand that I might do right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And we're not praying, why me? At all. You see in verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasuries. My, years ago I read stories of people trying to find pirates' treasuries that were hidden. And all the efforts and all the expense they would go to in trying to find that silver and gold. That's what he's saying here. You've got to spend your life looking. You've got to spend your life with your pick and your shovel. Digging out from the Word of God those very, very precious things that He has for us. It's only by a diligent search. Look at this. Some people are going to find these things. But some people never will. Which way are you going? Let me ask you. And I think I know what your answer is going to be. I know what my answer is. Do we want those hidden treasuries of God? Well, sure. Then how do you go about getting them? It's by that individual study of personal dedication that I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to dig it out of His Word. I'm going to find it in His Word. And in His Word, that's where I'm going to go to get it. And then you take those treasuries that you find there, and you hide them to yourself. You tell everybody about it. And you hide it to yourself. You keep it to yourself. Not that you don't tell it, but that you retain those promises individually for yourself. Those promises come from places that God has arranged for you. Look with me in the book of Deuteronomy 33. Here in this chapter, Moses, as he is preaching to the Israelites, he's down to the end of his life, and he is declaring unto them, the whole nation, the book of Deuteronomy 33 is written to the whole nation about the things that God has for them. But they've got to dig it out. They've got to get in there and they've got to get their pick and their shovel and they've got to take the promises and they've got to live before God. They've got to do those things for God. But look in particular, down in verse 18. Now the whole chapter, Deuteronomy 33, the whole chapter is written to the nation of Israel. But I want you to see here what God says to a particular tribe. Notice in verse 18, to the tribe of Zebulun here. It's as if God is speaking and saying to all the people, you have great blessings. And then He gets down here and He talks to one individual. You see what He's saying to us? He's saying to the people in the church, there's great blessings for the church. Now for you individually, here's what I'm talking about. That's what he's saying. Look here in verse 18. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasuries hid in the sand. Now that is a prophecy that God gave to Zebulun. And how that there's treasuries hid where? In a very unlikely place. It's in the sand. It's in the sand. Not much plants can grow in the sand. If that's all you've got is sand, you're not going to have much anything else growing there. It's a very unlikely place. You know, some people would say, it's in the great places. It's in the things that you can see with your eyes that are very enlightening, that the treasuries are. But it's not so. You think of the tribe of Dan. And if you look on your Bible map sometimes, and you'll check the population of the tribe of Dan, you'll find that they were very populous, just under Judah. Now, I forget the number, but they had the second one under Judah as far as population is concerned. But when God distributed the promised land to the tribe of Dan, they got the smallest of all. They got the smallest land area of all. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, to us it doesn't. But the land that Dan got was the best land of all. It was the best land of all. It was the smallest, but it was the best. You know what Dan did with it? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. They did not even take the land. They left the enemies of God in the mountains, and the enemies of God took over the land, and Dan went somewhere else. And finally, you can read in Revelation, they're in chapter 7 and they're not even mentioned. You see, there's treasuries. And sometimes you look at it and you say, well, this is a real good place. But God said, no, it's not. You think about back in the day, in Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 13, where that Abraham and Lot, they were having difficulty because of so much herds that they had. And Abraham came to Lot and said, you know, we're not going to have any problem. We're family. We're not going to have any problem. He said, Lot, you just pick where you want to live and I'll go the other way. And so Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he headed up that way and he lost his life and his family and everything because he only looked at the surface. But think of this. Abram said, I'll go wherever you want to, wherever you don't go, I'll go. And they both had flocks. They both had herds that needed to be fed. But Lot went to where there was a lot of good pastures. Abraham said, I'll go where God wants me to go. Perhaps where there's nothing but bramble growing and blowing around. And God could fatten up a cow on a bramble and cause the cows that are eating the good grass to die. There's hidden treasures in trusting the Lord. There's hidden treasures. Look also, the next one is in the book of, this is the fourth or the fifth one, the book of, that's number five, I think. It's in Isaiah chapter 45. And if you've lost out on the numbers, if I haven't given them correctly, well, I'll get that for you, because if you lost out, it's because I didn't give it right. Isaiah chapter 45 in verse 3. Here is what God tells a fellow that is not a Jew. Isaiah 45 in verse, read verse 1. He's talking to Cyrus, who's the king of Persia. And Cyrus does a wonderful thing. There's blessings in hidden treasures that God has given if we will dig it out. In Isaiah 45 in verse 1, it said, "Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus." But that's pretty special. And then he says, "You're going to subdue these nations. I will loose the loins of these kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked paths places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give thee the treasuries of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." God would show things to Cyrus he didn't show to others. There's hidden things. There's hidden blessings and wonderful things that God has for us. Cyrus is the king of Persia who, with Darius the Mede, took over the Babylonian kingdom, who held the Israelites captive. God gave Cyrus special understanding, and Cyrus turned the Jews loose to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And then later, another Persian king turned them loose to go build the wall there around Jerusalem. So there's hidden treasuries that God has given. Notice the next one, the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 3. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge." And that tells us where it is. Then they're hid. They're hid there. It's not for the casual observer. Listen, there are hidden things that the person that is saved, scripturally baptized, a Baptist, a member of the Lord's church, that is casual in their relationship with the Lord, will never see. There's things that are hidden. And you read this. Paul said in verse 2, "I have a great conflict for you and for those of Laodicea." And you remember the Laodicean church, who was not hot, not cold, lukewarm. They were casual in their service to the Lord. They were not dedicated to the Lord. They didn't dig out those gems. They just, not like the Bereans, to search out daily whether those things were so or not. They just were casual in it. And he says here in verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love." That's what Paul wanted for them. Not that they would be separated at all. And he said, and the word "and" there in verse 2 pulls all this together, "and unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding." Not just partial. Not just, "I hope I'm going to heaven" kind of thing. But I know I'm going. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm just sure, because Jesus has saved my soul, and I know he's done it. I mean, to a full assurance of understanding, in the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. I think if there could ever be a verse where the X marks the spot, that's it. That tells you where it is. That tells you where the hidden treasure is. You got a treasure map, you got X marks the spot. If there's ever a place that tells where it is, right here is the place. Means the person is pleasant. They are contented in their lives, even though they're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're hidden in this world. We're here. And the treasure is here upon this earth that we might have it. It's laid up. The treasure. Say, why is it hidden? Because the only way you can find it is by persistence. The only way you can find it, this kind of assurance, is by digging into it and delving into it, leaving everything aside except the Word of God and obeying everything about it. Say, why does the person hide the treasure? Look, what you're doing with that actually is this. And read this passage with me. In the book of Psalms 119, here's what's happening. This is a scriptural answer to it. Here's why the person in Matthew 13:44 hides the treasure. Here's what he's doing. Psalms 119, the Bible states here in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The person here is not concealing these scriptural truths that he's learned that's helped him through the obstacles of life. He's not concealing it, but he's hiding it. That is, he is laying it up there. And it's for him. And he knows it. And frankly, this individual would wish that everybody else could have it. He's not. See, when he goes and he according to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33, you say, well, what he's doing there is that he is buying the field. That's right, because he wants it all. And it's not that anybody else can't have it. It's there. It's available. And the desire is that others would also take it and use it. But he finds it by diligent search. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a hidden treasure. There are those people, listen, back in Matthew 13:33, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. There's people that see the surface of the kingdom of God. They see the surface of what a church is. They see the surface of service. But then there are those who by diligent effort seek it out, and they find for themselves a value in serving God that others never do see. And it's my prayer today that each of us might be able to find that hidden treasure and find that real value, the thing that really counts for life. Because when Jesus said, lay up treasure in heaven and not upon the earth, this is part of that. I pray that God would bless and make this message mean something to me and to you, that we might lay up this treasure, that we might find it, hang on to it. Today, if you're lost, if you're without Jesus Christ, it is my prayer that you might see that hidden treasure, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that hear that Jesus is the answer. They hear that Christ is the way. But then there's a few that really come to the place of knowing that Jesus is their personal Savior. And it is the light of their life. What about you? Do you just know externally that Jesus is the Savior, or do you know it internally? Is He yours? Do you just say, I know that there is a Savior, but can you say, I know that He is my Savior? There's the difference. I pray today that if you're lost, that you might come to Christ with your sins, make confession of your sins to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you. Know that He will. He will wash away your sins and make you clean. And I pray that God would bless you today. If you're here today and you're saved and you're just not right with God and you know it, boy, today is a day to get that right. Today is a day. Just between you and God, get that settled. And if you are here today and you just really desire to understand more about the Bible, then today is a real good day to begin. There's no better day. And seek for those hidden treasures and those things that God has for you. Be a real, real blessing to you. We want to stand, if you would. Brother Brian, if you come, lead us in this song. Pray that God will bless today in this service. Pray that God will touch hearts as only He knows how. Let us stand as we sing, if you would, please.